As the only animal shelter in Fort Smith grapples with overcrowding and shortfalls in their budget, an advisory board has been crafting a pet licensing ordinance that they say will rein in the stray animal population in Fort Smith. When Fort Smith Animal Control picks up a loose dog or cat, they're taken to the Hope Humane Society, which is where we begin the first part of this two-part story. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek takes us inside for a look at what it takes to care for hundreds of animals.
They're in the bathrooms, they're in the hallways, they're in crates, everywhere.
That's Raina Rogers, the interim executive director at the Hope Humane Society. Two dogs that need to be adopted as a pair scamper around her feet as she gives us a tour of the shelter early last week.
Right now, I think we have 461 dogs actually present on site, and I think at least half of those are probably actually ready for adoption.
Ready for adoption means the dogs have been vaccinated, as well as spayed or neutered. And when Rogers says they're everywhere, she is not exaggerating.
These are visitation rooms. Unfortunately, we have so many animals that we actually have dogs that are living in there right now because we have a lack of space.
We start in the lobby where visitors are greeted by a sign on the outside wall that reads, "Be kind, work hard, rescue dogs."
So this is supposed to be an office. Same thing. We have a dog that lives in there due to lack of space.
The Humane Society also rescues cats. Rogers says they have about 125 of those.
This room right here is supposed to be our kitten. We call it the kitten garden, but technically right now it has a lot of cats in it because we had 12 individually boxed up cats that were found in a field that were dropped off with us by a wonderful concerned citizen.
From there, we walk over to one of the buildings next door where they hold their large breed dogs.
This is the humane kenneling that we actually have space for these dogs, that this is their individual home. These locations are not supposed to be full of animals. These are overflow spaces, so old offices and storage rooms and things like that.
Rogers opens the door to one of the overflow rooms. There are four crates inside that are home to a mom and four of what are likely her puppies.
They came in with her and those two, but I don't think that they're all from the same litter because they look so completely different, but you never really can tell.
They share the space with another puppy in a separate crate.
Hi, baby.
Rogers cradles him under her arm as we talk.
Animal control found him and another one, and they were just snuggled up outside freezing to death.
We go back outside to one of the other five buildings that make up the shelter campus.
We call this ISO. It's supposed to be an isolation building. Unfortunately, because we've had such a massive influx for years on end, it's not really considered isolation anymore. Ideally, every shelter has an isolation area for whenever animals come in. You check them in and make sure that they're healthy for the first few days while their vaccinations are taking effect.
But Rogers says right now, that's just not possible.
And as you can see, there are 16 actual kennels, but there are pet taxis and pop-up crates everywhere.
After recently opening up a new building, Rogers says the shelter has 280 kennels to house dogs. The rest have to live in the other accommodations.
They're not supposed to be permanently housed in them, so they tear them up and they get rusty, and so you have to throw them out all the time.
Rogers says the shelter has to accept every dog or cat that's brought in by Fort Smith Animal Control. Generally, they'll also take in strays brought in by the city's residents. Other times, she adds, animals are just left at the shelter after it closes for the day.
Sometimes we show up and they're tied to this fence. If they come in after hours, we've had baskets and boxes and Rubbermaid bins full of kittens dropped off on the front porch waiting for us when we arrive.
Rogers acknowledges the shelter is crowded, but she says the alternative is worse.
So the alternative is that they will be walking around town and possibly in the streets, or sometimes they're scared and you don't know how to approach them. And I would hate for anybody to be injured because this animal has been neglected, scared, or abused in some way. That's our fault as humans. And it's better for them to be here so that they don't injure anyone else or get themselves injured.
Rogers says they feed and water the animals at least twice a day. That's also how many times a day shelter staff clean their kennels and crates.
So every day they start the process first thing in the morning. They all get fed and watered that first part of the day and their kennels cleaned. And then by the time you're finished with that, it's time to start all the way back at the beginning all over again.
Rogers says they also rely on volunteers to take dogs on 15-minute walks in a grassy area on the campus that doubles as a pet cemetery. Recently, a local company also installed several new fenced-in dog runs where they can be let off a leash.
Take them off the leash, let them run, play frisbee. In the summertime, we'll have swimming pools out there for them, for the dogs that like to swim.
The Hope Humane Society is a no-kill shelter, which means they have to save at least 90% of their animals. Roger says their rate fluctuates between 96 to 98%.
Usually we try to go above and beyond to make sure that if they are injured in some way or unhealthy in some way, that we try to get that taken care of to the best of our abilities before we'll consider euthanasia.
Sam Terry, the president of the Hope Humane Society Board of Directors, says they decided to make the switch to a no-kill shelter 2 years ago.
The influx of animals was just too great, and unfortunately, several years ago, we were killing for space. We found that obviously impacted the pets' lives negatively. It also impacted our organization as a whole.
Right now, Storm Nolan, the vice president of the Humane Society Board, says the shelter has a contract with the city of Fort Smith, which amounts to about a fifth of the organization's annual budget.
They pay us about $19 a day for the first 5 days of an animal stay, a dog or cat stay, and then that's it. And then we're left to shoulder the rest of the responsibility. Finding the rest of that, those four-fifths of our budget that we need is a constant struggle, as it is for most nonprofits. But just the need, you know, the sheer volume of dogs and cats that come in is just, right now, is just unsustainable.
Nolan says the shelter's budget is about $1.2 million. But for the last few months, they've been $20,000 to $30,000 shy of what they need. He adds the shelter does plan to renegotiate its contract with the city.
We're currently on a month-to-month basis with the city. We've delayed negotiations for a little bit because there's a proposed pet licensing ordinance that will be presented to our board of directors in late March, and hopefully will go to a vote early April. So we don't want to complicate the two issues. But after that, then we do plan on negotiating with the city in earnest to see if we can get to a more sustainable funding level.
The pet licensing ordinance would create a fee system for animals that are unaltered and for those that are spayed or neutered, microchipped, and vaccinated. Sam Terry, who is also a member of the city's Animal Services Advisory Board, which crafted the ordinance, says it's something that should already be on the books.
Fort Smith is the second largest city in the state, and we have no animal licensing requirements at all, and we're trying to change that.
Terry says the advisory board is trying to change it because it would make a difference in how many animals get picked up by animal control and end up at the Humane Society. While Raina Rogers says some of the animals will go back to their owners and others will be transported to other shelters in other states, most will stay in Fort Smith. And January has been an exceptionally hard month.
And this year alone, the first 10 days of the year, we received 96 animals. So this was a record-breaking January. We're well over 200, I believe, for the month. That's a little higher than usual, but they can bring us animals anywhere from 2 a day to 15 a day. One day recently, we got 23 all in one day. So it really just depends, but on average, I mean, probably close to 200 a month.
And all of them, Roger says, need to be taken care of, whether the animals are there for a few hours or a few months. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Susanna Sitek.
In part two of our coverage, which will air on tomorrow's edition of Ozarks at Large, we'll take a look at how the proposed pet licensing ordinance might work and how it could help with what some are calling a pet overpopulation crisis in the city of Fort Smith. That's on tomorrow's Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 on 91.3 KUAF.